If you sit in Lisa Howell's classroom at Pierre Elliott Trudeau Elementary School in Gatineau, Quebec, it can sound a little bit like this.
So, is he from Maniwaki?
Yeah, he's from Maniwaki.
And oh, excellent.
So he's going to might come in and teach like a little lesson of art and stuff like that.
Those are some of her students and their senior buddies who they're partnered with throughout the year. Lisa, you have a pretty unique classroom. Can you tell me about your students?
Sure. I am the proud teacher this year of 17 boys and 3 girls. It's technically grade 5 and 6, mm-hmm. but my youngest student is 10 and my oldest is 13. It's a real mixed bag, so like kids who don't read and write to kids who can write a novel. I also have a class with a high number of Indigenous students who come mainly from the Cree Nations along the James Bay coast, as well as a few students who are from Kitigan-Zibi, which is a local community not far from Gatineau, where my school is.
And added to that mix, you have senior buddies that come into the classroom. Can you tell me about them and what it is that they do with the kids?
I recognize that working with seniors would be able to give my students a sense of having elders with them. And it also brings out, I think, a really wonderful thing in the seniors who don't often get to be around youth.
This is my buddy Mark, whom I met this past September. And we've been working on a project, and it's been a lot of fun having him as my junior buddy. He tells me about his travels. He's been to Graceland, actually, seen the home of Elvis Presley, which has impressed me no end. And he's a very active young man, so it's been a great pleasure for me to have him as my buddy.
This is Maggie. She's been my buddy for this year. I was very, very happy when I met her. We both like Elvis Presley. this year we're writing a comic book, so...
Our activity every year is we produce a book together that we publish, and everyone gets a copy. So the final buddy meeting of the year is my students cook our buddies lunch. We sometimes serve them bannock or goose or beaver, and then we unpack our box of books that is fresh from the printer. And it's a celebration of reading and writing, and it completely changes my students' idea of what authors are, and that they themselves can be authors. We've been learning in our class about Jordan River Anderson and why it's so important that everyone in Canada know the story about Jordan.
He was in the hospital. He was really sick. He said he could go home if he was okay, but he would need some nurses to go with him. Then the government to pay for that. And the government said, no, we cannot pay for this.
And Jordan, of course, was a little boy from Norway House Cree Nation who was born in a Manitoba hospital with complex medical needs. And he had to stay there until he was 2. But when he was ready to go home, the provincial government and the federal government couldn't decide who would pay for his care. And he died there 3 years later, never ever being able to go home. And that story really hurt my students a lot. And it happened to be one of our buddy meeting days. So my students and I really try and understand reconciliation in the sense that it's not just that you say sorry and you move on, but you do something about it. So for us, that involves a lot of teaching others. And so they said, let's teach our buddies about Jordan.
And after they keep yelling at each other, and the kid, the little kid never got to go to his home, and he died on his 5th birthday.
I just want to say that it was really sad, and I think the government was being really sick and twisted, thinking of money instead of a child that's disabled even.
What I've learned is that what agreement was made 4 or 5 years ago between the provincial government and the federal government to not allow a child to be neglected if needing help from the health system. And the problem is they have agreed to this, but in the past they have not come through with the funding. And recently,
and were the seniors aware of some of these things that it sounds like the kids are thinking about a lot about, like, mm-hmm. colonization, like the legacy of residential schools, like cases like the Jordan's Principle. How have they responded?
You know, I'll see the seniors talking to, you know, one of my students is from Mistissini Cree Nation in northern Quebec. And his buddy the next meeting came back and had brought a map and said, I found where you're from. So there's these little moments like this of you know, of this new idea about Canada. And you see the child's face light up that, you know, I was important enough that they wanted to find out about who I am and where I come from. But certainly, no, a lot of the seniors had never heard about Jordan, had never heard about the case before the Human Rights Tribunal. Indian residential schools was another one that many of them had never heard about because, of course, it's still not in many of the curriculums across Canada. That's slowly starting to change, but it wasn't in the curriculum when they went to school, and it wasn't there when I went to school.
My name is Louis Camerton. I'm 71. Well, I didn't really know anything about it, so it was, you know, something new for me. It made me feel kind of upset in the sense that everybody didn't have equal access in the country, even though the law says everybody should have equal access to government services.
With so many new things to learn about each other, has that ever led to any uncomfortable moments?
I think that we thrive on discomfort, actually. It's this idea that we have to be uncomfortable to grow and to take risks. So, yes, there's lots of uncomfortable moments in the class. I've had some kids in some hard situations because I think there's a lot of the systemic effects of racism, not only in our colonial past, but in our colonial present and in, you know, racist policy that affect children growing up on reserve and also off reserve. And so there's been some seniors who have felt there's been a lot of sadness at some points. You know, we talk about it and the seniors can come to me and share the stories that their buddies have shared with them. And I always try and bring it back to, you know, they felt safe enough to tell you that. And that's really beautiful.
Is there a moment that stands out to you that was really like the catalyst moment for you from being kind of someone who was just kind of there with what they've learned and what was being given to them to now being more active and wanting to incorporate reconciliation and Indigenous history in your classroom?
Well, it was my first year teaching at my school. So that was in 2006. And I had 16 students who were Indigenous, and I realized I didn't know who they were. And for me, I mean, sure, it's great if you know your students' birthdays and you know what they like to eat and their favorite color, but to me, that's not really knowing your students. And if I'm going to really work with you and learn with you and from you, I need to know you and you need to know me. So when I got to know them and I got to know their families and I got to know their struggles and their resiliencies and their stories, that was, I think, the moment for me when everything changed and I realized that as an uninvited guest to these lands as someone who has the honor of working with these kids and their families, I can't separate it anymore. Like, I can't think of my life before anymore.
I think I read a little bit about that, and I guess I can Google it and just put in...
You could go in.
Can you please have your attention?
So, boys playing with cars. It's at 2:32, and the bell rings at 2:35. So we need to say a big thank you to Robin and Mamagwe and Spirit Bear for coming today. Can we say thank you? Miigwech.
Thank you, Miigwech.
Miigwech. And also to Jeannie for...